Welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. This is your host, Ishai Breslauer. Here we meet every Monday to talk commercial real estate and prop tech. We will dive deep into the different asset classes, discuss the market, talk about the new and exciting technologies, meet key people in the industry, and get some inspiration. Let's begin. Hey guys, before we start, I just want to point out the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. It's a free download. Go to the text side and you will find it. It has absolutely great information, completely free, how to become a landlord, how to determine the value of a property, or creative financing for commercial real estate. All of it is completely free. Go download it. Also, I want to point out my CRE crash course. It's a 2-week must-have program with a must-have skills for commercial real estate, like investment strategies, the must-have financial terms, how a deal is done. Go take a look at it, go to the text side and click on the link. And now let's continue with our program. Hey guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. Hope you guys are doing fantastic today. Next Monday and the following Monday, we're going to have a very special show. I took basically a live that I've done a while ago, right when COVID started, and I spoke because it was like a thing to speak about. I spoke about the depression. Of course, we're talking about recession, not a depression, but it's a topic that starts, you know, to bubble up. Everybody wants to understand what's going on. And I gave a historical overview of at the time, the depression, how it unfolded basically in terms of the historical aspect of it. And I cut it, so you'll have only the historical story. It's going to be divided to 3 shows, so it will be well digested. Every show is going to be about 20 minutes. And it's going to be the historical overview of the depression. Part 1 coming up right now, and you're going to have it also again next Monday and the following Monday, 3 parts about the historical unfolding of the depression. How did it happen? What happened? You guys, I hope you guys enjoy it. Okay? So take care. There it is. Go.
Let's get into it. Let's get into the historical aspect of this whole thing. It's really mind-boggling. In order to understand the 19, let's dive into it. By the way, this is, I think, most interesting. You will find it very, very interesting. That's what I believe. And in order to understand the 1929 crisis, depression, we have to understand what happened previous to that. We have to understand what happened from between 1921 to 1929. What happened? So this is a good time. This was like this flourishing euphoria was all over the place. But if I want to put the point on it, first of all, there were a few bad things. Every period of time, every decade has some bad things. The bad things were you had some gangsters, you had the prohibition on the alcohol. These were the bad things, especially considering we had Kiddush the Shabbos and we had some time, as we call it. But the booming part of 1921 and 1929 was an economy that is booming like never before post-World War I. Okay. Second thing, all these fun things that happen that, you know, are happening in America happen then. What, for example, the competition of Miss America, the Oscars, started at 1921 to 1929. The jazz was like at its peak. It was, and all those movies became, obviously, we had audio to the movies. It all started in 1921 to 1929, all these things. And people were at their top of euphoria and fun and happy. People bought cars like never before because prior to the 20s, only the rich guys, only the top, you know, people in the economy, only the top 1% could buy afford cars. And then came Henry Ford and made it affordable for everybody to buy cars, and people started buying cars, and the interesting part of it was that people started taking loans in order to buy cars. Sounds familiar? banks established the concept of credit to the small person, to the everyday person. Everyone got credit. What did they use the credit for? Buying cars, use the credit for something that you would find surprised, but it happened in 1921 to 1929. People got credit from the banks in order to invest in the stock exchange. And that changed everything. Why? Because people got all those credits. By the way, just one item, just to make you understand, going back to the cars aspect, to make you understand the boom of the 20s, prior to the 20s, in 1919, America had 6 million cars, okay? 1929, 27 million cars, just to make you understand what happened in that period of time, okay? Now, the main part is the euphoria that was around the stock exchange, okay? Wall Street. Unlike every other place in Europe at that time, that only the highest rank, you know, the people with the heavier part, you know, deeper pockets came and invested in the stock exchange. In America, came out the concept, everybody can be rich. Everyone can get rich by investing in the stock exchange. Everybody came and everybody did it. And it became a trend. Everybody was taking loans in order to do that. It was the thing that was, they had this bubbly thing. It's called the ticker taker. I forgot what the real name is. Ticker takes, whatever. This bubbly thing that came, all these little slips of paper came out of it, and people could know. It's like today we have those screens that you know, the Bloomberg screens, MSNBC, we saw the little lines where the stock exchange is going. Then they had this little piece of paper coming out of this bubbly glass thing, and that's how they knew where the stock exchange is going. They had that in every store, barbershop, I don't know where. They had it in every store, and every Joe Schmo can just invest. And that's how people started investing. They took and they leveraged in a way that was never before. They took and they put as low as 10%, and sometimes even less than that. And the banks gave them the rest in order to put your money there. It's going to get back. Brokers started going crazy and gave credits to people and said, pay me later. Just put in. I'll invest for you. And the euphoria went on and on and on and on. And and just to make you understand a little bit of numbers to see how crazy things got, the Dow went in 5 years from 100 to 400, different obviously numbers than today, but from 100 to 400, four times its value in 5 years, okay? People thought they're going to get rich, and it was crazy. Now, everybody wanted a part of it. It was like sports. Everybody wanted to be a part of this whole craziness of investing. It was like sports. And whoever really got into it was the middle class, okay? Higher class, they always were in the game. They were always buying stocks. It was not accessible to the middle class. The middle class got into it. That's how they got into it. The poor people stayed all in the same, meaning the lower class were never getting into it. And the new president is coming into the game. Who's the new president? Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover is coming into the game, and his ticket is, his slogan is, prosperity is just around the corner. Imagine that. So 1929, the stock market is booming. It's booming like never before. And he's coming with prosperity is just around the corner. He got everybody's attention. And he was elected. He became president in 1929, unknowing what he's getting into, unknowing what will happen, what will unfold in the next couple of months. Okay, and that's what happened. And everybody knows that there's a bubble. Everybody who has some eyes, you know, in his head is saying there's a bubble. Something's happening, but the media is different. I'm going to talk about it soon. And there's no social media, and the experts are not, you know, everybody that was coming out and saying this trouble is coming, everybody shut them down, didn't let them talk. It's different. You're talking about a different time, a different life. Everything is not the same, and as it is today, and everybody's still in euphoria, and the president is saying it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and it's unbelievable. Not only that, but in the summer of 1929, where everybody goes away, July, August, everybody's going for vacations. Usually the stock market goes down a little bit. It went even up higher. It went even up higher, you know, after Herbert Hoover got elected, and the insanity went on and on and on and on. Okay? Now, everything blows up. Black October 24th, Black Thursday. Black Thursday. Everybody knows what it is. The stock market collapse. Okay, collapse. Everything blows up. No one was there to close down Wall Street. No one was there. Even the president of Wall Street was on vacation in Hawaii. There was no one there in order to get things done. So we are getting into a craziness and a loss. The loss was $30 billion, which was basically 10 times the budget of the Fed at that time. Again, $30 billion, 1929, 10 times the budget of the Fed that collapsed. Okay, it all collapsed. And it was more of all the expenses altogether what America put out as expense for World War One. Just to make you understand the magnitude of this collapse, okay? That's what happened at that time of 1929, October, okay? Now, even people, now, you have to understand, even today, the computer is not fast enough, and we complain, right? We like to complain. Oh, it's not fast enough. I sold it. We have the stop orders and limits, stop limit, all these things that we have. Great. At that time, you didn't have that. You had a much slower communication system. You know, you didn't have what you have today. And what people, they saw this ticket taker and it broke down because people saw what they saw at a certain given time and they said, okay, I want to sell. What they sold at 2 o'clock could be for tomorrow. It could be not relevant at all. Nothing worked properly and everything fed itself because once everybody saw what happened, if they sold yesterday and it happened a few hours after or a day after, whatever it happened, because it was like a bottleneck. Nobody could get there on time and to sell on time. That fed itself because people then saw it later on, and then they started selling it, and things got worse and worse and worse, and it became like a snowball. It's a ripple effect of no equal, okay? So there's a legend about the time of the Depression, about people jumping out of roofs, and stockbrokers, etc. It did happen, but when I read historians, they say that it was vast exaggerated. They saw that they say that it definitely did not happen the way it was. You know, people talk about it wasn't that magnitude. The movies at that time, they make it much bigger than it was. Everybody's jumping out of the roofs. That did not happen. But definitely there are stories about people who committed suicide. There's a story about Winston Churchill, who was not a president, who was not a prime minister of UK at that time, who visited New York, and is in his hotel where he was, a stockbroker jumped. So that's a story that did happen, but I'm saying it wasn't as crazy as people say it was, that everybody was jumping, but it was pretty bad, okay? So moving to the next thing, what did the president do about it? Not much. That is the major difference between what's happening today and then. The coronavirus pandemic, whether, again, you like what the administration, what they do or not, that's one thing. But things are being done. The president cannot not do anything. He goes out to the media and he acts, and they have these stimulus packages coming out, whether they're enough or not, but they're coming out in a major, major way early. And that is important. It did not happen in 1929. It did not happen. Herbert Hoover did pretty much nothing. Okay? He did pretty much nothing. And he says things will get better. Now, you have to understand, due to the fact that everything happens much slower and the ripple effect is continuing, but it's not happening fast enough, the notice, the news, people don't know it early enough. And what happens is that when he gets to the media and says, things will get better, everybody hears it, maybe a day after, you know, by the news, then the effect comes another day after. It doesn't come as fast as today. And things are getting worse and worse, and Herbert Hoover is losing the confidence of the crowd, confidence of the public, and things are getting worse and worse. Now, there was a scene outside the stock market. There was a scene outside the stock market and of people congregating outside of Wall Street. They didn't do anything, didn't hurt anyone. They didn't, there were no riots at that time, at that point in time. But people felt that Wall Street became such a focus. People stood just right outside for weeks, just waiting for something to happen because they were so concerned about what is happening that it became crazy. And everything went down and down and down, and everything got worse and worse and worse. And the worst thing of this whole scenario is that banks started to go bankrupt. The banks started to lose everything. And that was really bad because people lost their confidence in the banks. The banks gave tremendous amount of credits, which cannot be paid back by people who lost their money, especially on the stock exchange. And then the banks started getting stingy. People got nervous that some banks are getting in trouble, and it caused a ripple effect again, that people came and took out the money from the bank, which made the bank even less, you know, their ability to stand this crisis was very small, and they couldn't do it. That got really, really bad, and many banks went bankrupt, and really, it was really bad. The Fed is not putting out enough money for the banks to survive, and things are getting worse and worse, and it's not really getting to the favor of anyone. So how does it work, this whole ripple effect? One, there's no credit, no money. People can't buy homes. People who wanted to buy homes and wanted to take mortgages for homes cannot buy homes anymore. That stopped. There's no money for businesses. Okay? No money for businesses. Businesses cannot pay their suppliers. They cannot pay their employees. And it goes on and on. And the employees cannot pay for whatever they have to pay. No consumer. There's no transactions. Economy is made by transactions. There's no commerce. Everything starts to die down. And it all takes time. It's not happening in one day. And that is one difference that we have today than it was then. Then it took, first it was the stock market, and then slowly it went to the market, went to the banks, went et cetera, et cetera. It was a ripple effect that happens within months. With us, it within days was just boom. Why? Because coronavirus shut every business down in one, just like that. So it's very different. That's why there are differences between that and then. But it was the hit was on businesses, on small businesses. And that's exactly what's happening today. That is the thing that also Ray Dalio and other experts are talking about. The same parts that are happening then are happening now. It was not the banks like 2008, like I said. Some cities experienced foreclosures. Up to 60% of foreclosures on the real estate. Okay, people lost everything. And now here's the thing. The people who are poor, they didn't care much. They were poor. They were poor now. They were poor then. Doesn't matter. They didn't have jobs. They were homeless, or they had very little. They had very little then. They had very little now. They had to compete for the dollar more than it was, but they didn't feel the difference in such a huge way. The rich people, the people who had so much, lost a lot of money. They lost a lot of money. But sometimes up to, and I'm going to talk about Rockefeller in a second, but some of them lost up to, let's say, 80%. You know, it's unprecedented. But they still had. They were still able to live in the same lifestyle they lived before, okay? Because their businesses were damaged in an unprecedented way, and they had to lay off people. But they personally still had that business existing, and they had their own personal life going okay. They didn't have to sell their home. They could have a few homes. Maybe they sold one of their homes or something like that. Or they didn't buy whatever they had to buy in order to expand the way they wanted to expand, but they still had their lives. The who got hurt the most? The middle class. The middle class was wiped out. 1929 up to pre-World War II, the middle class was almost wiped out completely. And that was the unprecedented part of 1929 depression. Okay? That was really bad. Now, about John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller was already above 90. Okay? It was one of the parts, and I'm probably in a different video, I'm going to speak about those titans, you know, Andrew Carnegie and John D. Rockefeller. Ford, don't like to speak about him much. He's not the same, but J.P. Morgan, Vanderbilt, all these people who, you know, so-called built America with their entrepreneurship and stuff and changed the world since, they all died. And the only one who stays, I think Ford was still alive, but the only one who stays out of those titans beforehand, well, John D. Rockefeller was above 90, which life expectancy, I don't know how he kept alive so much. I don't know why he ate, but it was unbelievable. Anyways, he's the richest man in the world at that time. And he comes out to the media after that collapse. And you can see the video, by the way, on YouTube. It's great. I mean, it's amazing. I love seeing old videos. It was a different world then. And you see John D. Rockefeller, old man, this tall, skinny guy, comes out of the media and he says, I've seen depressions come and go, and there's always prosperity after that. He was not wrong, but he was hoping, I'm assuming, that things will come out. And he wants to show the stock market some trust, and he starts buying stocks like crazy. He buys, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help at that moment and at that point of time. People are not joining in. People are not jumping ship. They're not coming in. They're not joining. They're not buying. People are in panic. People are in panic. That's what happens. So it didn't help at all. And again, the middle class is being wiped out.
Guys, I hope you enjoyed the first part. Next part is coming up next week. I'm going to see you in the next show next week. And Depression Part 2, Historical Unfolding. You guys, take care.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.